Hi, this is James White once again with the Solution Series brought to you by Solari.com and Corey'sDigs.com. And I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Corey Lynn from Corey'sDigs.com. Corey, always great to be with you.
Great to be here. I'm looking forward to this one.
Yes, and we are, you know, this interview sort of is kind of goes along really nicely with the last interview that we've had here. And we're just going to continue to keep talking about, you know, things that you can do yourself. And that's what this whole series is about, is solutions and empowering folks to really take solutions into their own hands in some cases. And we have Paola Brown with us today on the broadcast, and we're delighted to have her here. Let me give you a brief background on Paola. Usually based in Texas, Paola Brown is a wife, homesteading mom of three, and experienced homeopathy educator whose workshops, classes, and interactive outline courses empower other moms and families to incorporate homeopathic principles into their lives. And we're delighted to be joined today by Paola Brown. Thanks for being here on the Solution Series.
Hey guys, thank you for having me. Very excited to be here.
Yeah,
I'm super excited about this one. I have so many questions because I've been searching, James knows, I've been searching for a while now. I said, we need to get some people on where we integrate some different styles of curriculum and things that they can use for homeschooling. And when I came across this, I was like, oh my gosh, this is a perfect fit because it's health and homeschooling, but it's also information that the whole family can learn. And it looks really fun. And whoever, I don't know who your artist is, but incredible, incredible stuff.
Thank you. I wanted it to be really beautiful and high quality. I had a couple of designers and artists that I worked with, but thank you. I love it too.
Yeah, it's great stuff. So tell us, how did you get into homeopathy in the first place? And then give us kind of a background on what homeopathy is before we get into the different curriculums and what it is you have here.
Okay, so my story begins when I have three children now, but I had two children and I developed many bladder infections over years and took lots of antibiotics for those. And then I developed a really terrible, non-curable autoimmune disease called interstitial cystitis. Harvard Medical School says it's one of a really terrible chronic pain disease, one that is about analogous to someone undergoing chemo. That's a quality
wow.
of life. And
that's
so,
awful.
Yeah. And I wish I could, like, I wish I could have, sh- I could show you guys the faces of my urologists and my GYNs when they told me I had this condition, just like how serious and how heavy I could tell that they felt about it. And that was not a good feeling. So I was living in Houston at the time, medical Mecca, people call it. And just some of the best doctors ever in the area. And I said to him, okay, let's treat this. Let's get after this and get it under control. And they were like, okay, well, the first option is you can take a pill that might make some or all of your hair fall out. And I was like, and this is important to my curriculum. There was a logical process in my brain that switched on that was like, if I'm going to be taking medications that could possibly make my hair fall out, even if it doesn't, I was like, that's like poison. And what is it? What else is it doing to my body? So that line of thinking, I think, was very important for me. And I said, no, I'm not doing that. Next. And so then they were like, okay, well, we can give you this device. You insert it kind of like a tampon. Sorry, guys. That's how it works. And then you electrocute yourself with it. You turn the dial. Yeah. Yes. And you electrocute yourself with it. And then you just do it as hard and, you know, as high as and as long as you can stand. And then afterwards, your nerves are tired and you may not feel pain for several hours. And you just need to keep doing that throughout the day. You know, some people, and I was just like, no, thank you.
No, that's a hard no.
Device, like, I was like, what is this, shock therapy? So, so then I was like, nope, next. And then she was like, okay, look, we can give you painkillers, but I make my girls join a support group for the addiction. And I was like, at the time, I wasn't really into the holistic food, you know, real foods kind of stuff. But I also didn't drink soda pop. Like, I was like healthy, you know, I ran triathlons. I was healthy, but I was like, maybe I should get an addiction to like soda first before I jumped to opioids. So I just turned them down. And that's when I spent 7 years before I found homeopathy, kind of 7 years of trying to find other doctors, other treatment centers, thinking that the conventional paradigm had the answers for me. Then I switched to acupuncture, chiropractic, all kinds of stuff. I mean, people tell me, "Have you tried this?" I'm like, "Oh, yes." And so it's been really great because at least now I know all that there is out there. And when people come to me and want to talk to me about homeopathy and they reference what they're doing, I'm like, I know exactly what that is. And I had I we spent we spent a lot of money, a lot,
Yeah, I
tens
bet.
of thousands of dollars until then I find homeopathy within a month of working with a practitioner. Because for chronic illness, you really need to work with a practitioner, a homeopath.
Yeah.
And you can get a great listing of directories on my website at paulabrown.com/homie. Like I was playing on the word homeopath, like hey. So paulabrown.com/homie provides different directories of really good reputable homeopaths. So
Awesome.
you can go there. But yeah, I worked with one and within a month I just started noticing small shifts because the beauty about homeopathy is that it encourages your body to heal itself. But here's the thing. Let's go back to my journey. I was cured within a year. I was like 98% better. Okay.
Wow.
So then fast forward 12 years. My mom emails me. She's like, "Hey, have you heard of this drug called Elmeron?" And I was like, "Yeah, that was a drug that they wanted to give me that might make my hair fall out, like that very first one that I turned down." My mom's like, "Look at this." She shows me they're having class action lawsuits because people who were on it for about 15 years are going blind,
Oh my goodness.
drilling holes in their retinas. And
Wow.
it kind of brought me to tears a little bit because I'm like, "My gosh, these poor women, like they've already are suffering with this bladder disease and now they're blind on top of it." And
Right.
I would have been on it for 12 years at that point. So not quite 15,
Wow.
enough to do that damage. And that moment is when I was like, I had already started this curriculum, but I was like writing it, It's like I have to finish this.
Yeah.
Because there was a moment I experienced in that doctor's office 12 years ago, at the time, that I said, "No, I'm not going to take this pill. There's got to be a better way." And that is what we need to pass on to our children and our
Right.
grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. So my kind of slogan is generations of health. Like we hear that generational wealth thing. We're talking generations of health. And that is my goal with my curriculum.
I
So
love it.
should I
Well,
answer what homeopathy is? Or
let me
yeah.
interject for a second, Paula, if I can. I don't know if we can really have an answer, but they've done a masterful job of, seems like, the drug companies of sort of in a brainwashing is all I can really say. Because if you watch any of these drug commercials, afterwards they give like 30 or 40 seconds of side
Yeah.
effects up to and including death, they say on some of these things. And then they still like, Joe, and then they're all happy. Go see your doctor if you want. Like, I mean,
And
come on.
call now.
the side effects are often the same thing that you're trying to get over. Like, like
Yes.
may cause bladder pain. And it's like, I thought I was trying to get rid of bladder pain. I know. It's what I believe the conventional mindset has done a really good job, the conventional drugs, they've done a really good job of like this idea of like it's an arrogance of education and
Yes.
the whole like what's it called? Like play, the set, marbled halls, fancy tools, big degrees, intelligent people who are really good at memorizing information. Like this, it's like a whole, I'm trying to think of a word. It's a whole theater.
Yeah.
And that theater is so impressive. And you want to be part of the club. Like you want to be treated by these amazing minds that are so intelligent. And yet, what are the results? I tell people this all the time. Let's pretend you're going church shopping. I'm a Christian. Let's pretend I'm going church shopping and I want to find a congregation. And I go to the pastor and I say to the pastor, "Hey, what, tell me all about your church." And he says, "You know what? We don't do salvation here. We actually help you get as comfortably as possible to hell. Like just gently, comfortable, lead you gently to hell." Right? And then you're like, "I don't think I want to go to this church. I'd rather go to the," then you go to a different pastor and they say, "Look, I can't promise you salvation, but we're going to try. We're going to go for it. That is our focus. That is our goal. We believe you can get there. And we, all of our energy is put you, put to put into you that path to salvation." I mean, really, that's what I realized, right? You're going to doctors and they're like, "We can't cure this." Actually, the word cure is illegal.
That's right.
And can't even use it, so don't say it, but we can help you slowly die as comfortably as possible.
So you're saying when you started on the homeopathy, you saw incredible results within just 1 year's time?
With homeopathy, any kind of medicine that helps your body heal itself, you start having these moments where you're like, I think. So, like for me, one example is my bladder always felt full. The lining of my bladder was very swollen. So, even a tablespoon of liquid in my bladder would feel really full. And then I would go to the bathroom. I'd be like, oh, I have to go. I have to go. And then I would have like just kind of pathetic, I would void my bladder with not very much milligrams. But then, like after about a week or two, I had that same sensation. I'm really full. I have to go to the restroom. And I went and I was like, whoa, that was a lot of milligrams. And it was just once. It was just once. And then the other, whatever many times I went that week, it was the same. But then the next week, I had 2 good days. And then it was just like slowly but surely my body started working it out. So I guess this is a good time to kind of define exactly what homeopathy is, right? Okay, so homeopathy has one main core principle, and it's the law of similars. It was developed 200 years ago by a German doctor named Samuel Hahnemann. Now, Samuel Hahnemann was an out-of-the-box thinker. He was going through a lot of the same struggles that we go through today with like the conventional medical paradigm. The big thing he was dealing with was like, I'm killing people. I'm doing all this bloodletting. I'm doing all these treatments. And he's very logical. It makes them worse. When I do this bloodletting too much, at least, I think sometimes it can be good on a smaller level, but the amount of bloodletting that they did, he's like, I'm killing people. He even wrote this. Actually, we put this in the curriculum. There's this amazing article he wrote in the German newspaper, and I found the article, guys, which was like not easy. I found this old German article. Emperor Leopold, who is Marie Antoinette's brother, he died, and Samuel Hahnemann criticized Emperor Leopold's doctor because he's like, okay, so this guy was sick, and you guys did a bloodletting. Good. Then he gets worse. Then you do a second bloodletting. Okay. Then he gets worse. Then you do a third blooding. Then he gets worse. Then you do a fourth. Like, what are you thinking? He says in the article, like, science pales before this. You're going to keep going back when the first 3 times didn't work and do it a fourth time. You're killing him. You're stupid, is basically what he says. So, but what a wonderful way to teach kids, right? Like, this logical thinking applies to today. So, anyways, going back to what is homeopathy? Real big out of the box thinker. He had this idea. I wonder if the substance, some substance, whatever symptoms it produces in its crude form, could stimulate those same symptoms in a sick person. So here's the classic example. Onion. Guys, if you chop an onion, what symptoms do you get?
You start crying.
Right? What else? Runny nose, right?
Ken, yeah, you can.
Okay, so in homeopathy, let's get really specific. Like you've chopped a bucket full of onions, okay? And you're in this little room and it's all closed. It's your small kitchen, let's say, and your nose is running. What kind of runny nose is it? Can you guys think of the quality of that? Is it going to be green and thick and slimy? No.
No, just
Clear,
thin.
like clear and thin, right?
Clear.
Okay. And then now you're in this tiny, tight room. It's all stuffy. Your eyes are tearing. What are you going to do to get some relief?
You're gonna expel the mucus from your nose, probably with a tissue or something.
Right, you're gonna blow your nose, and you're probably gonna open the door and go outside, right? To get out of that like little invisible cloud of. So in homeopathy, we look at all of the symptoms that a substance can produce in its crude form. So in now, if a person is sick and they have egg white runny nose, like the raw egg whites, they feel better when they go outside. Their eyes might water. Then the homeopathic form of onion can cure that person. So whatever symptoms something in its crude form can produce, it can cure a sick person. Okay, so in homeopathy, we don't call it onion. We say the Latin term, because that used to be the universal language, and that's allium sepa. We don't say like, Lunesta or Viagra. We're not there to try and convince people. We're very scientific. What is it called? What's the universal term for that? And it used to be Latin, allium sepa. And you match the symptoms of that remedy to the person. So another great example. Now, Now, how do they prepare the medicines? This is the second important thing about homeopathy, is they dilute it. They take the crude substance, and there's a whole, pharmacological process. Sometimes it's the root, sometimes it's the leaves, sometimes they have to, and it can be any substance. It doesn't have to be plant-based. Like, okay, honeybee, Allium c sorry, Apis mellifica. Honeybee, typically, when you get stung by a bee, what's going to happen? Redness, swelling. And if you're allergic, we're talking anaphylaxis, right? Well, I have an amazing story of my friend Kathy. Her daughter is, or her granddaughter is highly allergic to milk, anaphylaxis level. Somehow milk got spilled, it splashed on her plate, and she had a bite of her food, went into full anaphylaxis shock. Dad is sprinting across the park to get to the car to get to the EpiPen. Kathy opens her purse, gives her little granddaughter Apis mellifica. Boom, shuts down the anaphylaxis, and her body deals with it. So anything that in so you so in homeopathy, it's a study of what are the symptom patterns to these remedies in their crude form, and how do we match that to a person? Now, of course, we're not going to give this little girl actual honeybee, like onion, not so bad, but honeybee, that's, and there's actually a lot of toxins in homeopathy that are used. Well, what they do is they use a very specific dilution process, and the dilution process is renders the remedy completely non-toxic. This is one of the criticisms of homeopathy, is because it gets diluted down so much that the end result is often pure water, chemically speaking. But they're able to analyze the structure of the water with like energy, like magnetic or heat microscopes, and they see these beautiful like snowflake patterns. And so it's stimulating your body at a cellular level to address it. Now, because it's so non-toxic, the other side of it is there's really not any dangerous side effects. So let's say, James, let's say you had allergies. And I gave you Allium Sepa thinking it would help, but you have this cough. And people don't cough when they chop onions typically. So let's say I just don't know any better and I give you Allium Sepa for your allergies and you don't get any better. The neat thing is that while the remedy is not helping, it's also not going to hurt you. And it's just, you just kind of move on until you find. So the remedies have to match. The homeopathy will work if the remedy matches. And because it's so non-toxic, it's incredibly safe.
Does
It
it?
kind of makes me think a little bit. When I was growing up, I went through years of allergy shots. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but I mean, essentially, they're injecting you with that which you are allergic to. But and it builds up an immunity. I mean, different than what you're talking about, but.
Now, there is some similarity. This law of similars is not only found in homeopathic medicine. It is a law, and it is something that we've seen throughout. I even was thinking about it. I had like this glass fireplace that the fire had like gotten all black on the glass. And I just used newspaper with water and I dunked it inside the ashes and I used the ashes to clean it, and it cleans it really, really well. And you see this law of similars play out in a lot of different ways. And it does work. Yeah, I think allergy shots, you're actually getting some of that crude substance. It's just a smaller amount. We're talking in homeopathy, such a minute amount. It's, it's awesome.
Does
What were
that
you going to say, James?
any correlation to like vibrational medicine? When I worked back in Michigan, I worked at a facility. The guy next to me was would practice vibrational medicine with tinctures. So, for example, if a disease resonates at a negative three, you give a tincture that has a positive three, and it sort of cancels that out. Is there any correlation to that with the homeopathy? Is there like you talk? It sounds like it sounds like it's just the opposite, though. It sounds like you're matching things together, not the opposite. Like I was just talking about, with the resonation. Any correlation?
Well, homeopathy does work on the principle of similars and resonance, and so it is very important to have both of those. So I would say they're definitely cousins. And a lot of people who do that kind of medicine started out with homeopathy, or they have some exposure to homeopathy, which led them to that. But you're right, because when the correct remedy is matched, you have that similarity, but then it creates a resonance. If people don't know what resonance is, this is actually in my curriculum. You have two tuning forks that are the same note, you hit one tuning fork and the other one will start singing spontaneously because there's a moment of resonance where that energy transfers. Now, if you get two tuning forks and one's like a different note than this one, you hit this one, nothing will happen here. So there's no resonance. And so that's kind of how homeopathy works is, you know, let's say James has the kind of allergies that Allium Sepa would help. We give him Allium Sepa. His body responds to that. There's a resonance. And then they have what has been called a cascade effect, where it triggers his body and all the symptoms start going into the right place, into balance. So,
And so now these are little, they're like the little white pellets, correct?
yeah,
And
they look like chapstick tubes. I'm at the like Whole Foods or whatever.
okay, and I've seen these at multiple, health food stores and nutritional places. So let's go into James, if you can pull up her website. If we look at, because you have so many things on here, I love it. You even have a club for adults, which is really cool and fun. It's like a book club, sort of. So
It is, yeah.
you've got pre-kindergarten to kindergarten, and then you've got grades 1 through 12. And then of course there's the family, and then there's the adults. And so let's just go through like the curriculum 1 through 12, and because I know Evie and the Secret of Small Things is your favorite.
Yes, it is. It's kind of the backbone of so much of what we do. So if you go to my website and you look over there, it says four families, four grown-ups. So under four families, you can click on Teach Me Health and Homeopathy for grades 1 through 12. And that's under the four families header. Basically, it's a one-room schoolhouse approach where you read out of a storybook called Evie and the Secret of Small Things. I like to say it's for ages 6 to 96. And what happens is you read this story. It's actually based off of my family and my husband's family. Jason is the oldest of 10 kids, and they have
Wow.
this family reunion. So in the story, it begins with Evie waking up to the big family reunion day, and grandma's down the hall. And so they're enjoying the family reunion, and this actually happened. I think it was the year of the swine flu, actually, and we all got sick. We called it the brown plague because we're the brown family. So we all got sick with the brown plague. And in the story, Grandma Annette gets better a little quicker than everyone else. And Evie is like, what did she do? And so Evie starts following Grandma around and she starts introducing her to the idea of terrain theory, which again, this is not quite homeopathy, but we have to know how to think first to appreciate why we should seek out, because guys, like it or not, natural medicine's a little bit slower. It's it it takes so if you don't kind of harness yourself and having that patience a little bit, actually homeopathy can be really fast too. So I don't want to say that, but in general, it's kind of stick it out. You have to have that why. If you don't have that motivating why not just take Advil instead of Arnica? You know what I mean? So she teaches her the story of Louis Pasteur and Antoine Bichamp. Louis Pasteur is a father of germ theory. Antoine Bichamp is a father of terrain theory, which means the health of the host impacts whether or not we're susceptible to these illnesses. We saw this happen with COVID, right? Some people got really sick with COVID and some people just bounced back. That's terrain theory. And so grandma teaches her that. And then she goes into and tells the story of Samuel Hahnemann, the bloodletting and everything. And they have this really great discussion in the book where the kids are like, man, those doctors were so stupid back then to do all that bloodletting. Like, what idiots. And grandma goes, well, hey now, wait a second. What are doctors doing today that 100 years from now are going to be considered stupid and prehistoric, you know? And that's so like story is so helpful to kids. For kids to stretch their little brains and think like, oh, true. You know what I mean? So story kind of helps make that whole idea manageable. So in the curriculum, you do the storybook as a family, but then the teacher's manual, like it basically tells you, okay, read a chapter today. And then next week you might put the book aside and you might do some exercises to build on like terrain theory, to build on, you know, Samuel Hahnemann's bloodletting whole thing. And then like there's role play, asking doctors questions, reading drug labels. That's a big part of the curriculum. You can actually go to my website, paulabrown.com/free, to download three complete free lessons. And so the way you do it in a one-room schoolhouse is level So you have one storybook, you have one teacher's manual, but you just buy the workbooks that are appropriately leveled for the ages of your kids. So like level one is grades 1 through 3, level two is 4 through 8, level three is 9 through 12. So like when you're doing the drug label activity, level one kids for grades 1 through 3, they're getting a very simplified drug label for acetaminophen. So we say like yellow skin instead of jaundice, or watery
Right.
feet instead of diarrhea or whatever. So then the level two kids, they'll get like three drug labels because now they're thinking about polypharmacy and they're getting the original language. And so now
Ah.
they're thinking, what if you take all these drugs? And so all the kids are actually, they get a little outline of a human body and they get to color the symptoms onto the person. So they're coloring the yellow jaundice, but the level two kids are doing polypharmacy. So they're doing all the symptoms of three different drugs. Then the high schoolers do what every adult should do, which is sit their butt down. And what, guys, when you get prescribed a drug, research it.
Right.
Find the symptoms. And they get a color too, because high school kids like to color too. So that's a good
Everyone
example.
likes to color.
They all do. But that's a good example of like, showing how they all can do the same assignment at the same time, but it's just appropriately leveled.
Right. And then you have these remedy flashcards and a memory game and dominoes. How cool is that?
Yeah, all that's included in the main bundle of the curriculum for grades 1 through 12. It's like a it's print. Some of those are printable, but most of it is physical books. So
And then you have, let's see, you've got so vocabulary and reading guide, and you've got music in here somewhere too. I remember seeing something about music.
yeah, we sell the memory work music separately because sometimes people already own, well, actually, it goes with almost every product, the music does. It goes with the preschool and kindergarten primer. It goes with this curriculum I was just talking about for grades 1 through 12. It goes with my homeopathy hero card games. So I don't want to force people to keep buying it like as part of a bundle. So it just sold separately. But yeah, it's awesome. You guys, the symptoms. Okay, so in homeopathy, the key is to know the symptoms of that remedy. Like when I think Allium Sepa, I think egg white, runny nose, watery eyes, maybe sneezing, better in open air. I know those. So when you
Right.
see someone and you're like, so do you feel better when you go outside? Oh my gosh, going outside is so much better. Like you start picking up on this. So this memory work music, I did it with my good friend Jaina Ray. Jaina recorded and helped develop these songs with me. And so you learn, they call them the keynotes of 19 different remedies plus five principles, important homeopathy principles. And
And
there's all
so it helps you memorize it by having the songs. That's such a cool idea.
It is. And what's so cool about homeopathy is that it works the same for humans as it does for animals. And
Ah.
there's this whole group of farmers in the UK who use homeopathy on their farms, and they're all buying these CDs or they're getting it from iTunes because they're trying to memorize the remedies so that they can use it on their farm with their farm animals. And I thought that was really
That's awesome.
cool.
And then tell us about the book club. So now, how does that work?
Okay, so that would be on my website under the For Grown-Ups tab. And yeah, the book club is basically that same storybook, Evie and the Secret of Small Things, but it comes with a little companion booklet, which is the book club guide. And I basically go through that story with adults, but after the reading the chapter, I go a little bit deeper than was appropriate for kids. So like I'm actually teaching how to take a case. My daughter walks in with a fever, what next? So we kind of coach you through that whole process, and it's awesome. So I love it.
It is. I mean, that's what I like about your whole program is it's really, it doesn't even matter what level it is. I think this is fantastic for adults to know. I mean, it's just for the whole family.
Yeah, that's it.
Especially, right now with the times we're in, I think this is going to become more and more valuable. I'm curious, how many different remedies are there with homeopathy?
Well, I would say right now, there's probably, I would say 10,000 that exist from here
Wow.
Europe, all over the world. But the most commonly used, I would say probably like 2,000, but and I'm also president of Americans for Homeopathy Choice. And it's interesting, the United States homeopathic medicines are legally drugs per the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act. It's a really cool history. The guy who wrote the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act was a senator from New York named Dr. Senator Royal Copeland. And he rose to prominence because remember that Spanish flu of 1918 when three people died? Well, New York had really fantastic statistics. And guess who was the health commissioner at the time? Dr. Royal Copeland. And what was he? A homeopath.
Interesting.
And this
I didn't
propelled,
know this.
yes, and this propelled his political career, and he ended up becoming senator. And so when he was writing the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, he wanted to make sure to include homeopathy to protect it. So it is considered legally a drug by definition, although it doesn't really fit any of the, pharmaceutical models.
Right.
So it is under attack by the FDA. The FDA has kind of lost that institutional knowledge that it used to have about homeopathic medicines, and we actually just sent out an action alert today to our the people on our list at homeopathychoice.org because they're changing their policy on homeopathy, and I'm concerned about our access to that vast range of medicines. So,
Yeah, the drug
yeah.
cartel has a quite the drug cartel has quite a grip on things, that's for sure, and they don't like anything that's not drugs. So where what as far as sources are concerned to get some of this material, is there anything that your local Pixley's or your Kroger or something, can you find ingredients that's in there, or do you have to get this sourced? You may have a different source because you're probably in that community, but just for someone that's trying to just maybe like not in a community, doesn't have really any support group. Can you just go to your grocery store and get what you need typically?
So yes and no. What you're going to find at a typical grocery store, grocery store or just like CVS or whatever, pharmacy store, you'll find in their kind of cough section, if you look, you'll see some what they call combination remedies for coughs that are homeopathic. So look for that little term, homeopathic. And what they'll do for these combination remedies is they take several of the best homeopathic cough remedies, they'll mix them so that you're taking like multiple different remedies at the same time in one dose, and that will help with your cough, flu, so they'll have a lot of those combination remedies in a lot of stores throughout the United States, which is a really great beginner homeopathy. Like just go to the store, pick a box that matches your illness and take it, right? And it can work really great. And sometimes when I can't find the right remedy, I'll just be like, screw it. I'll just take this whole combo product and it can help. Another big one that a lot of people might know about that is homeopathic is acylococcinum. Some people call it acylo. It's like a big flu remedy. And boron sells that. So that you can find typically in the stores. Now, if you're wanting the single remedies, because that's where like truly the power of homeopathy comes in, is if you can start learning these remedies and learning their keynotes and selecting the single remedy, it tends to work even better. And so if you go to, it's usually the health stores. Vitamin Shoppe has a lot of them. Whole Foods has a lot of them. A lot of the mom and pop health food stores local to you will have the single remedies. And if they don't, you should definitely encourage the manager to get some in because it's great.
Now, what about online? Are you familiar with any online places where people
Oh,
could
yeah,
find
lots
them?
and lots. So you can go to Boron USA, Boron USA.com, Olois, Ollois. I think it's OloisUSA.com. There's Washington Homeopathics. And I think their website is homeopathyworks.com. There's I'm trying to think what else. Hahnemann Labs, based out of California. Hahnemann is that father of homeopathy. So Hahnemann Labs. So there's a lot. And then there's some that are directly just to practitioners that will sell to them. So which I am
So,
not. I'm homeopath. So
I'm curious now because I know that you homeschool and you also had a farm and homesteaded, and so you kind of have the whole package of what a lot of people are working towards right now. What do you teach? What do you do for other curriculum? I'm curious. Do you, when it comes to like history or math or English or different trades or gardening, or what other types of things do you teach?
Well, you know, my curriculum is a little eclectic because I'm a little eclectic. So I really do love, I think my two core foundations is classical education. So there's a lot of that memorization and stuff that you'll see in my curriculum mixed with Charlotte Mason. So a lot of story. So what I do, like for math, I just do Saxton. I think it's a good program. Do your freaking math every day. You gotta do it. And I actually, that is the one subject I outsource because you do not want me to teach my children math. I'm not the girl to do it. So we actually go to Veritas Press online for an online math class, and they have just done that for years. And my kids know their maths, and I'm happy about it. So, and I even have a tutor because I was like, crap, I need to be checking their homework. And I have a tutor that will call. We used to live in Europe, so I have a friend from Hungary that will check their homework. And
Nice.
yes, and so I'm like, great, that is totally completely out, and it's super cheap because you know she's from Hungary, so it's the conversion rate for their money is a lot cheaper. So that is off my hands. But then for science, we've done my curriculum. We'll circle back and do it again. And we'll do like Trim and Healthy Mama. She has a really great nutrition curriculum for kids. So this year we're focusing on the human body. There's this really great body book where you cut out all the organs and you can put it on a. So my daughter's doing that. My boys have already done that. For my daughter, we're doing a curriculum called Maidens by Design, which is talking about that maturation process. And I'm sure you can guess there's a lot of there's a lot of different kinds of maturation curriculum out there. And so I really like that one for her. For history, we've done a lot of audiobooks, Story of the World. We've done a lot of that. And then we've done a lot of history-based writing stuff from IEW, the Institute for Excellence in Writing. Really, and I'm an English major with a master's in linguistics, so I really like the IEW stuff.
Okay.
So what else is there besides? So that was history. And then so the IEW history-based writing stuff is both history and writing. And then for grammar, I use my own thing because I'm really picky on grammar. And then we've done a little bit of classical conversations as well, which is a kind of co-op that you can get.
Nice. So when one of the things, of course, you hear with homeschooling is the socialization, 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 right? That's, you know, and of course that is important. I mean, you know, children need to be with other children. What about the concept, and I haven't had a chance to review all the material, rather than going to like, Playland, maybe go out and learn how to like identify plants that are edible and new and
Yes.
nutritional and medicinal and things like that. Do you care to comment on that?
Well, okay, let me comment on like socialization first. There's in my curriculum, I link to this because it changed my life. It's this presentation given by Andrew Pudua. And he's actually the guy in charge of Institute for Excellence in Writing, IEW. He talks about how truly the worst linguistic position you can put your kids in a room full of people their age. If they're in a mixed group where they have like older kids and younger kids, they actually advance much better because they want to look smart in front of the older kids, so they're trying hard, and they
That
want to
makes
look
sense.
smart. They also want to look smart in front of the younger kids because they're the older kid. You know what I mean? So this whole, you know, family style learning with all these other families who have all these different ages is really great. I love that my kids can talk to adults and to kids, and I think that's because of that homeschooling aspect. And furthermore, guys, I don't want my kids to get socialized with the public school setting. That's when I hear about all the drama, all the drugs, all the swearing, all this crazy stuff that I'm like, I would like to opt out. I don't want that kind of socialization. Having said that, you're right. Like spending times. So my like I have one son that's doing a ham radio class right now. And I just like found him on.
Cool.
Yeah, super cool. So he's doing his ham radio class. And we actually have been working on our homestead. And my 13-year-old and I, guys, we built a beautiful giant 16-foot barn door. And there's a lot of value in working with like inanimate objects when you're like sawing, cutting, you know, drilling holes into the barn door that like teach you something, you know, like
Right.
you can talk to a person and maybe work out your problems, but if that board is cut too short, you got to do it again. And there's a lot of meaning in that. And so I love the variety that living on a homestead gives my kids. Like, we do a lot of co-op, and sometimes it's like a little bit too much, like too many people, and we just need to scale back. But also, there's so much value in letting kids work on their own. There's some people that won't do anything unless they're around other people, unless they have a boss, unless, and being self-motivated. And like you said, like studying plants, connecting with nature, like having that away from the noise, that quiet time, I think is so important. And I love
Well, and
that.
it helps build their confidence and kind of forces them to, process and analyze and use critical thinking. And I think that's really important, all of that.
Yeah, like when my son started milking our cow when he was 8 years old. And he would, I remember one time I was looking out the window from my kitchen, and there's this cow, and she's just sitting there like chewing her cud, And my son, he's skinny little 8 year old, he's holding her rope and he's leaning so far back that if he let go, he would have fallen over. His pulling as hard as he can, and she just doesn't even give a rip. And then he's like telling her, like, we gotta go milk in the barn, and he's just trying to get her in there. And I just love that for him, that he had, like, it is frustrating, but that is also life. And you need to learn how to deal and problem solve and get to the other side. And it's been such an amazing blessing. I was talking to, and there is nothing wrong with therapy. I love therapy. I've been to therapy. It's great. But I was talking to a bunch of my friends recently that I went to high school with, and it's like most all their kids are in therapy. And I was outside hammering this barn door with my 13-year-old son, and we're laughing and we're talking, and I try to make it a positive experience, until it got to be negative 5 degrees, and then that was hard. But until the temperature dropped that much, it was just like I told my husband, like, I think this is therapy. Like, you work out so many of those inner issues and you let go of things. Like, it's just so good, to do that. So
Well,
I don't know if anything.
I think it's also therapeutic to be like outside in the dirt, in the sun, getting vitamin, getting sunlight for vitamin D, and outside, dealing with animals and do, I mean, because it, you're exposed to people say, well, there's germs. Yeah, but you're exposed to germs, but that strengthens your immune system. And I think that is one of the key things for great health is a strong immune system. And I think you can get a way stronger immune system with outdoor activities than indoor activities by far. You care to
Well, I actually, growing in high school, I had a friend whose father was a psychologist, and he would help troubled youth do this whole program. It's called Anasazi, and that's what they do. Like, how many of these programs have you heard about where they go outside into nature, they work with their hands, they learn survival skills, and it's like that is a huge part of that healing process and that therapy. And I'm very against kids having cell phones. My 15-year-old has a flip phone, which is like it's actually turned into this like really hilarious thing that everybody thinks it's so cool to have a flip phone because my son has a flip phone. But like I don't know, like getting our kids away from the television. Parents, if you're listening to this, anything you do to limit screen time is worth it. And this is just like, keep it up. Don't give up. I know it's
100%.
hard. Yeah. Like, I've told friends, like, when they're having troubles with devices, and I'm like, run it over with your car and be like, oops, it broke. We don't have money for it anymore. Like, just lie. I don't care. Get rid of it. It reminds me of my mother. I'm Brazilian. Okay. My mom, we were playing, remember the old Nintendo games? That the game would stick inside the top of the console. Okay, so I'm like 6 years old, my brother's eight, and we don't have a lot of money. We're poor immigrants. And my mom was like, get off the computer, go play outside, or get off the Nintendo. And we're ignoring her. She's like, get off the Nintendo, and we're ignoring her. And she like finally like something snaps, the Brazilian comes out, right? She walks over, she rips the game out of the console, walks over to the kitchen, lights a fire on the stove, waves the game over the fire, and she's staring at us, And she chucks it across the kitchen into the trash can, lands smack in the center. My brother and I are like, we're going outside to play now. Bye. And I'm like, channel your inner Brazilian if you have to. We're so scared of like damaging our kids. Like, sometimes you just need to woman up, do what you got to do, and get those kids off of that because it is poison. It is poison.
That's a t-shirt. Channel your Brazilian. That is a potential
There
t-shirt
you
material
go.
right there. That's great.
I tell my kids all the time, she's in there. If you want her to come out, just let me know.
That's funny.
Oh, that's
That
funny.
is funny stuff. So your approach is sort of like a lifelong. What you really do is you instill lifelong principles that, I mean, your children and they're never going to forget these things. I mean, that's they're going to pass those on. Because here's what I think, Paula. I think that my view is we're moving sort of away from centralized control and centralized government. We're moving more towards local community stuff, and that type of what you're talking about is a perfect remedy for communities to to come together, and especially when it comes to children. I mean, that's the future. That's the future for
Yeah,
all of us.
totally. It's 100% the future, and I just there's yeah the, our world is ill. It is ill in so many ways. We're sick in our minds. We're sick in our bodies. The way we're treating our like the fact that people think that cows are causing all of this. What is it? Greenhouse gas. I'm just like, what? It's. Maybe the centralized feeding operations, the CFAOs, but are not good. But it's just like it's we have a very sick world, but I believe the solution starts at home. And I feel so strongly the remedy is two things: turn off the device and put your kids to work and do it joyfully. You can't do it joyfully the whole time because, like I said, the temperature sometimes drops to -5 degrees and you just got to get it done, but that's where the grit comes in. But most of the time, like my kids and I just spent 6 weeks working on a property that we're going to eventually move to. It is like it has been the most memorable, amazing, exhausting, hardworking, bonding experience. It's like, man, I thought my family was strong before this trip, and it's like I feel like we're made of steel now. It's been such a blessing.
I love it. Now, you're also tell people where they can find you on social media. And I also noticed that on your website, you have like over 70 videos on there too. What are the different videos about?
Okay. So, I'm on Instagram and Facebook, and you can just find me at Paola Brown's Homeopathy. So, if you just type like my first and last name, Paola Brown and Homeopathy, I'm sure it'll find me. And so the 70 videos is actually part of that main curriculum for grades 1 through 12, that one room schoolhouse curriculum. There's 70 videos that go along with that curriculum. So they're, yeah. So basically, like, okay, look, I'm the homeschooling mom, but I'm sometimes a lazy homeschooling mom. So there's days where I do not want to do the science experiment with my kids. So that's why I gave you guys in the curriculum, like, if you don't want to do this, just play the video,
They're smart.
So there's a lot of, and so you can do it if you're the awesome mom, good for you. But sometimes I'm like, I'm just gonna make these videos. So like remember that tuning fork example when I was talking about resonance? I do that. And sometimes this stuff is expensive. Like who has the money to buy tuning forks for one lesson, right? So you can watch this great video where I show tuning forks and I show that whole process of resonance. And so it comes with 70 amazing videos that really kind of enrich the learning.
Awesome. I
And
love it.
the book club program uses, I'd say, about 40 of those 70 videos, something like that. So it's really awesome.
What type of I'm looking at your car, your car. I have the screen on, you can't see that, but I'm going through all the stuff that you have here. The keynotes to your homeopathy remedies, other card games. Looks like you have like a do you have like a board game? Is it like a board game or some sort of a game
Yeah. So,
that you have?
yeah, if you go to paolabrown.com/game. That's I just know the URLs by heart, but it's also under the drop down for families. I have the homeopathy what's it called? The Homeopathy Heroes card game. Okay, so this is really fun. I mean, of course, because I made it, right? But it's really fun. So basically there are some amazing people in history. It's a card game, so not quite a board game, but it's a card game. There's amazing people in history who loved homeopathy. Did you know that Abraham Lincoln actually opened hospitals during the Civil War that were purely homeopathic?
No
Really?
clue, no
Yes,
idea.
Louisa May, like a lot of the abolitionists were all friends. And one of the they shared a lot of good information. One of the things that really got into the abolitionist group was homeopathy. Harriet Beecher Stowe, Louisa May Alcott, Thoreau, all these guys used homeopathic medicine as their primary form. You can see if you watch that Little Women movie, the one with Winona Ryder, that version. There's a scene where they're looking in their materia medica and they're talking about belladonna for Beth, who was dying from scarlet fever, and which was strep throat. So Queen Victoria, who just passed away, I mean Queen Elizabeth, who just passed away, her great grandmother, right, was Queen Victoria, who used homeopathic medicine. Queen Elizabeth, why does she live so long, guys? Well, guess what? She used homeopathy her whole life. So I just think it's so sad that like this important part of history has been lost. What's his name? Charles Darwin. Amazing people, Dizzy Gillespie, Beethoven, Sarah Bernhardt, who was the first silent era actor, Gandhi. So all these amazing people use it. So in this game, all the kids are sick in bed. So Lincoln is a little boy, Thoreau is a little boy. They're all sick in bed. And you play the game. And when you find a homeopath, that homeopath can try and find a kid. And the kid has three keynotes. So let's say it has like, I don't know, like I'm trying to remember what I put on the game cards, off the top of my head. They'll have symptoms like burning, watery eyes, red hot throbbing. So as long as one of the remedies that the homeopath has, because they're not home, they only got a few remedies in their pockets, as long as one of the remedies of the homeopath matches one of those symptoms of the kids, just one, you can help the kid get better. But if you don't, you have to put the kid back in bed until you can, do the remedy.
That's smart.
So, well, we're coming down to about 10 minutes left here, roughly. What would you have as far as a homeopathy starter kit, if you will, if that's even
Ooh,
a
that's a good
term,
question.
right? Like, just if they wanted to go out to the store and get 5 things or 10 things to start with, what would you suggest?
Okay, so I would use the remedies that I teach in my curriculum. Remember how I keep saying there's 19 remedies you're going to learn in my curriculum? I would get those 19 remedies. Those are perfect for accidents, the big acute illnesses. If you want to get a list of those, I'm sorry I keep giving you guys URLs, but you just go to paulabrown.com/music. You can see the lyrics to all of my memory work music, and I list all those 19 remedies because that's the name of the songs. So that's what I would start with, is I would start with those 19 remedies. There's a saying that we say in the homeopathy community, she who has the most remedies wins. So, keep buying those. There's kits like Washington Homeopathics has a really great remedy kit. Alois has a little bit of a smaller kit, OLL. OIS.
What do they run cost wise? It's been years. I actually bought some years ago, but I haven't looked in a long time.
Okay, so like a single vial will cost you $10, but usually when you're getting it in a set, it's like a kit set, the price goes down quite a bit to something like $4 or $3, depending. And like the vials can be really small in a kit, or they can be the bigger ones. It just depends on the kit. So
And so you have, so like in the single vials that aren't in the kit, the taller ones that you would get individually, are you taking just one or two of those little pellets a day? Or like what would be an example? Let's say you came down with like a flu or a really bad cold. What would you take and how many days would you take it? Just
good question. So I teach this in my book club program, like more in depth, because I can't teach kids how to take, because homeopathy is legally a drug. So I couldn't really teach kids how to take drugs in my curriculum. Like my attorney said,
Right.
can't do that. And I'm like, fine. But in the book club program, I take that extra step with adults. But basically, there's like 4 stages. Let's say you're so sick, you can't leave your bed, you might go to the hospital. You might actually let's start with hospital. You're on your way to the hospital. Someone's having an anaphylactic reaction. You might be taking it every 5 to 15 minutes. And you guys, you need to make sure that by the third time you take the remedy, by the third dose, you're seeing some sort of a shift or an improvement. So, you don't want to keep taking a remedy if it's not helping at all. You want to stop. Okay.
So you're saying every 5 to 15 minutes you take one of the little pellets?
If you're going to the hospital because it's that bad,
Okay.
you're hemorrhaging, whatever, right? Okay, the next level up, I would say you're so sick in bed, you can't leave, you're just miserable. Well, I would take it every 3 hours at that point, about. And you don't need to wake up in the middle of the night to take the remedy. If you're sleeping, your body's doing what it's got to do, so don't wake up. Then the next level is like, okay, I'm staying home, I'm out of bed, I'm throwing some laundry in. Okay, so now you're going maybe like 3 times a day. And then the next level is I'm not 100%, but I'm picking my kids up from school, I'm running to the grocery store. Now you're looking at like 3 to 2 times a day-ish. So
Okay.
that's just kind of a general rule of thumb.
So like one whole vial would probably go past just one remedy use, I'm guessing.
Oh yeah, for
Yeah.
sure. I have
Yeah,
bottles that
because
I
you get a lot in those, right?
We do, yes.
So
And
it's relatively inexpensive.
yes.
I mean, if we comp certainly if we compare it to the wonderful pharmaceutical industry.
That's part of the problem. I mean, that's part of the problem is homeopathy is so affordable. So we're competing with a whole different, type of medicine. And this is exactly why it's becoming so difficult. Because if homeopathy is a drug and FDA requires it to comply with everything that drugs do, can it afford it? No. And it's unnecessary because it's so safe and has such an impeccable safety history. So,
You know,
right.
I make my own elderberry syrup. This stuff is just fantastic. I put apple cider vinegar in it. I put lemon, I put green tea and elderberries, of course, and honey, and it just knocks stuff out. Is that stuff? It's okay to continue when you do homeopathy because it's so safe. You can still do those. I don't even know what that would be called. That elderberry remedy. I don't even think it would be called homeopathy. Maybe it
Herbal.
would. What's that?
No, it's herbal. It's herbal.
It's an herbal.
Yeah. Homeopathy is not herbal, although it uses sometimes plants to make its stuff. But yeah, you can use it together with even conventional drugs. If you're on medications, you can use homeopathy with it. It homeopathy does not harm the impact of any kind of other medicine you're on. However, a lot of times it's the pharmaceuticals that impact the effectiveness of the homeopathic
Right. Yep, that makes sense
medicine.
to me. Yeah, no doubt about
Yeah.
it. And what's lacking the most, would you say, Paolo? It would be just education, right? I mean, isn't it like anything else? It's just a matter of educating the folks and letting them know. Because I don't think most people they hear something like, you know, we've been so trained to the guy in the lab coat, like you said, that's got this air of authority, and you know, has a you know nurses around him that you know pretty much. Enforce that theory. You know, it's hard to really break away from that. People generally don't want to do, their doctors don't recommend it. They don't want to do it. I mean, how do you break that mindset? How do you break that?
Yeah, it's
It's
fear-based.
yeah, it really
It's
is.
and dependency.
Yeah.
Well, do you guys remember when COVID hit?
Oh yeah,
People were
unfortunately.
all dying. You remember that? People were all dying in the hospital.
That's right.
And nurse Erin came out and she was just like, people are getting put on ventilators that don't need it. There's some people that are walking
Right.
in, and she's like, they're just scared. And I pulled my kids aside and I said, fear is what killed them. It was not
That's
COVID.
right.
So how do you break from that? You start developing a relationship of trust with your body. When you
Right.
get a fever, I remember my son when he got his first fever after I had decided I'm not going to use, the antipyretics, I'm going to use homeopathy. My little boy, of course, like it's like Murphy's Law. I'm not going to use this stuff anymore. I'm going to do homeopathy. Great. Here comes a fever of 105. And I was just like, holy mother, I was so stressed. I had like diarrhea. I was so anxious. It was very stressful. But like I gave him the right remedy, which is belladonna. It's for people think like, oh my gosh, my child has a fever of 102. And I'm like, puh, no, that's not very high. My son had a true belladonna fever of 100. He was hydrated, guys. He was not an infant. He was a little boy. He could handle it. And in homeopathy, we think high fevers are just really like your body's healing strength
Sure.
throwing its energy, right? It's just a sign of his vitality. So yeah, he got a fever of 105 and I did the remedies. I kept him hydrated. I checked on him 1,000 times and he was fine. And then 24 hours later, he was like 100% better. And that was like baby step one. Like he was fine. His body
Yeah.
did what it needed to do. It's doing these little things so that when the big day, like when COVID hits and everybody's freaking out, you know what I did? I waited like a couple of weeks and I started getting reports from all the homeopaths like, we're treating this fine. It's fine. We're doing good. Everybody's fine. And I was like, okay, this is not like some random thing that suddenly homeopathy can't treat. So I started going to the grocery store. This is when we lived in Hungary and no masks were required or anything yet. You know, I did not want to go to Hungarian prison. So I did wear the mask when they finally made us do it. But I just like, I would buy a bar of chocolate. And I'm like, well, I just need to get this and get it over with. And I would eat it with my bare hands every time I went shopping, trying to like, maybe I'll catch it and get it over with. That shows you how much I trusted my body. And I know it, you know, and homeopathy too. So I think it's just, you know, just baby steps and learning to develop that relationship of trust. We don't want to be stupid. We don't want to be, you know, I don't have a history of any other issues that made me especially vulnerable to COVID. So I wasn't really worried about it, but. Yeah,
I have a
that's
quick question along those lines. Is homeopathy strictly for treating, or are you able to use any of it as preventative? So, like when you saw you were around people that were sick, did you say, you know what, we should start taking some of this?
it can be, there is a little branch of homeopathy that can be a little bit preventative. I prefer to get sick. I prefer to burn the fever. Dr. Thomas Cowan, who works a lot with the Weston A. Price Foundation, talks about how fevers kill cancer cells, how they burn off, like it's such a blessing. So I prefer, again, I'm healthy, my family's healthy, my kids are healthy. There's no other, you know, if maybe if I had a child with autism, those kids are very sensitive. I might want to be more careful and prevent something. But in our situation, no, I'd rather get sick. That mucus comes out when you're coughing it up, like it's cleaning house. You're getting rid of stuff that you don't want or need. When I get a fever about once a year. Last time I had one was from COVID and I had a fever of 103. And I was just like, I actually got into a hot bath to kind of aid my body in bringing it up to temperature. And yeah, and I felt so much better. So.
You know, quick side note, we're here at the end. This time's went by fast. Quick side note, about 30 years ago, as a side note, I did some contract work at Shish Kafarivar, Hungary. I visited Hungary and did some work out
Oh, did
there. Yeah, great, great people there in Hungary. I really, really
Yeah.
enjoyed my time there. We stayed in Budapest there, right
Oh,
down
yeah,
there.
that's where we lived, was Budapest for
Yeah.
3 years. It was
Well,
really nice.
We're just out of time here. But that went by, like I said, pretty fast. That was great information. Paola, is there anything that you want to say in closing, anything that you want to get across to the folks before we go ahead and wind things down?
I would just say go get those free lessons, guys. PaolaBrown.com/free. I have free lessons for the main curriculum for grades 1 through 12, free lessons for the preschool and kindergarten primer. Yeah, go there and just do those lessons with your kids. Have some fun. And you can read a chapter of my storybook. Like you'll get a lot of really great stuff. And I think that's a really great first baby step.
Corey, anything that you want to impart or anything that you want to say before we go ahead and wind things down with Paola?
This was fantastic. See, I knew this was going to be a good one. We could go on for another hour.
Yeah, that was good
We
stuff.
totally could.
That was good
We
stuff.
just, well, you hit on so many important things, you know, from just the homeschooling, just the overall with children and where we're headed with things. And I think you really hit on a lot of really important things going beyond homeopathy and health, you know, especially with the mental health. I think that's really critical right now with everything going on.
Yeah, I there's this book, Battle Hymn of a Tiger Mother, super controversial book. I would not read it as a how-to book. I would read it as like, let's see what this mom did. And I do. I think ultimately what I got from this book was like Chinese parents assume strength in their kids. And I decided to raise my kids with that mentality, like you can do this. I don't push them to the point of breaking their spirit. You know, you have to know that line, but you know, assume strength in your kids, in their body, in their mind, in their spirit, and give them those challenges and those opportunities so that they rise to it, accomplish, and feel good. That's what that fever was. 105 degree fever. That was me saying, all right, you are strong. Your body can do this. I'm going to support you and love you and give you the right homeopathic remedy, but you will overcome this. And he did. And that confidence, I think, spreads, like you said, homeschooling, their spirit, their body, all across that, and assume strength in your family and allow those opportunities. And sometimes when you fail, what happens? You pick up and you try again,
Right.
Well, folks, those will
That's
be the that'll be the last words here on this broadcast, the Solution Series broadcast. We're delighted that you joined us here once again. We always appreciate the great feedback and everything. You can check out the Solution Series by going to corysdigs.com or solari.com. And we were delighted again to have Paola Brown here with us, and visit her website at paolabrown.com. corysdigs.com or northwestsobernews.com is my website. We do appreciate you looking in. Until next time, this is James White for the Solution Series. Saying bye now.